pain is a warning. It's a signal for change. It's not there to annoy you. It's a warning. It's your body's way of telling you this has got too much.
Welcome to the Horse Trailer Post podcast, the show where we cover anything and everything related to the horse trailer industry. I'm your host, Brad Heath, owner and operator of Double D Trailers with over 25 years of experience in the horse industry. I'm excited to bring you the latest news, tips to everything equine. I can't wait to share my passion for horses and horse safety with all of you. So saddle up, join me every other week for the Horse Trailer Post podcast.
Thanks for joining our podcast today. We have Samantha, and Samantha is with RefinedRiding.com, and she's in Northern England. Thank you, Samantha, for joining our podcast. Welcome.
My pleasure, and thank you.
All right, so we'll jump right in. You wear multiple hats as a horse riding coach, a therapist, and a movement specialist. Can you tell us a bit more about your background and your career journey?
Okay, well, it's been quite a journey. I started off with horses when I was 11, did my years as a groom in a show jump in a racing yard when I left school. And then about 19, I decided that I wanted a structured way to learn. And that's why I became an instructor, really. I didn't have the goal of wanting to be a full-time instructor, and I couldn't also project my voice. So after a couple of hours, I'd be like, oh. So I just used to teach part-time. I went on a career from the age of 21 to 28 of constantly injuring myself until it all culminated in one huge injury when a horse fell on me, and I ended up for 8 weeks in bed. And kind of like that's what spurned me wanting to be a therapist, where I moved into the therapy work. I had racked up some quite complicated injuries, and all of them together, I became a therapist with humans, and then found out I could also do that with horses. So I kind of thought, yay, I'll go down that line as well, because I'd love to help horses as well. And it's been like a constant path, where it's the thing about being a therapist. I mean, I trained in what interested in me, what worked for me, what I saw. And I've gone down this pathway, and also people that I really respected, I trained with also. So kind of like the thing about therapy is there's always new stuff coming out. It's very interesting. I love anatomy and movement. And then fast forward another decade or two, I had another really bad injury just to add to the rest of them. And I had 10 years, two surgeries that were unsuccessful, made things worse. 10 years where I couldn't walk for more than half an hour a day. I was in pain all the time. My life was very restricted. And I spent 10 years searching for answers. And that's what spurned my move into training as a movement therapist, which gave me my life back. And that is trying to condense it.
Well, yeah, so it sounds like you've been through a lot, and you have to be careful, because you keep talking about 10 years and 10 years. If you're not careful, you're going to share your age with us. I'm just kidding.
No, I'm fine with that. I'm here.
I don't know what it is. A lot of ladies are like, oh, how old are you? I'm 33, when they're really like 55. Maybe it's just my wife. I don't know. Moving on before I get myself in trouble. So can you explain what restorative exercise is for folks like myself who may not be familiar with it?
Yes. Restorative exercise. I'm a restorative exercise, easy for me to say, specialist. And basically what that is restoring the movement that your body needs. So I use exercises and movements that are specific to people's needs and translate them into their everyday life. So like you have people go on diets and fall off them and off. This is something you learn about yourself, and you can use it throughout your life, and it becomes a habit. And it's like sometimes some people are astounded at the transition I made, but I said, I don't have to think about it all the time, because it's become a habit. I learned what my body needed, what movement it needed, and I sprinkle it into my day. And I'm very aware of the movement I get, because movement's different than exercise. You know, people tend to put exercise into a portion of the day, specific exercises where your body is capable of thousands of movements. So I trained, I did Katie Bowman's course. She's a very well-known biomechanist. And I'm just very lucky, I feel, that I got learned about this body of work and got my life back.
What ways do you think living with your own pain and restriction has made you a better therapist and coach?
I originally trained with a lady who is a pioneering physiotherapist. I did her course, called Mary Bromley. And she said to me, "You are going to excel because you understand pain so well." And I said, I wasn't planning on using myself as a case study, but it looks like I have. But yes, and so things aren't a textbook explanation to me. I feel things because I've had so many injuries. I'm very open-minded in the fact that the body will present however it presents. It doesn't follow a manual, and I'm very empathetic, especially with anybody, because like with the horses, for example, I'm their voice. If they're in pain and people are umming and ahhing about the situation, it's me that's going to get that across. I know what it feels like to live with pain. People with chronic pain, I want to give them the confidence and the direction. So it gives me a lot of insight into what it feels like, how it affects your life. It's a big driver for me because I lived with it, so I know what it feels like. I know the psychological effects it has as well. So yeah, it's an experience I'd have rather not have had, but it certainly gives you a lot as a therapist.
Wow. So let's move on to the business side, online versus in-person coaching. You know, we're in a digital age. It's transformed so many industries, including coaching. How does your online assessments and classes compare to the in-person ones?
I think that having online assessments is great because you give me a video and I can sit there quietly and watch it again and again and again. I can pick every little thing out of it. Then I can sit with you and go through it so you can see exactly what's happening with your body. Versus when somebody's with me, I'm still going to see a lot, but they're understandably nervous. There's certain points they want to get across to me repeatedly. Sometimes they have like a preconceived idea of where the pain is and it might not be there. And it's like, I think there's a lot more clarity in an online assessment because you visually can say, look, this is what's happening with your body. People are still quite stuck in, well, I need you next to me. But then it opens up the rest of the world for people that don't want to travel or in another country. And I like it.
Okay.
I do like it. Yeah.
We like it too. It's really helped in our business, just in the way that we communicate with clients. And I think most everyone, they're recognizing the advantages there. So let's see, talking about different ages. So riders, you know, different ages face various varying challenges. How do you adapt your coaching and therapy methods for riders across those different age groups?
Well, I thought this was a very interesting question because often it's not somebody's age, it's the way they've used the body through the years. So they've stacked up problems from their body use, and their body is highly adaptable. So I've worked with people in the 70s, I've worked with people in the 90s. It very much depends on their mindset of what they want to achieve to how determined they are. On the flip side, I've met 19-year-old grooms that have been in a horrendous state from the work that they do. And so I started to think, is it really? I mean, you know, you would expect somebody younger to heal faster. But in terms of problems, sometimes you could see somebody almost equal. Now, saying that, if somebody is older, then maybe certain things, a progression might be slightly different. But it is really the individual, what they display, what their mindset is as to how I work with them. Just treat everybody as an individual, regardless of their age. and find out what they can do. I'm not put off by somebody. I was working with somebody in the 70s, and they were going, they kept telling me that they were 70, and I was going, but you're still alive.
Right.
You know, you still have cells, you're still adaptable. Why? And gradually over time, he realized this and made a brilliant recovery.
That's really cool. Let's see, we often focus on the physical aspects of injuries, but, you know, there are mental, emotional components to that recovery. How do you address the holistic well-being of riders in your business, therapy and coaching?
My work is always holistic. It's always been holistic. I always look at the whole body, and you can't separate the mind and the body. It all works together. And having been injured myself, I know you go through like a grieving process. You're in a high alert phase a lot of the time because you're in pain. You lose confidence. You're scared of hurting yourself more. You're scared of somebody walking into you. And it's kind of like, because I've been through that, I give people confidence. I'm very honest with them, and kind of like, I'm always looking at the whole body, stress, health, movement, always combined together.
Excellent. So prevention, it's actually better than a cure. And what preventive exercises or routines do you recommend for riders that may be able to reduce the risk of injury?
I think what most people need to do is look at the day and see how much movement they're getting and kind of like what their habits are. And often people have times where they are sedentary for long periods of time, or they're doing the same repetitious movement, like in yard work. And I've often said to yard people, you know, break it up. Don't muck out six horses. Get off, do hay nets, get in different movement patterns. Have when you stop and stand, get your body into alignment. And like with people that are sedentary, it's like there are options through the day where you could move more, even if it's little and often. It's frequency, not duration. It's tapping on the door of movement and getting some more movement into your day. And where possible, go out walking as well. And things like, when you look at the ranges of movement that your body gets, it's like, how often do you get overhead movement? How often do you crouch down and get something out of the cupboard? How could you change things that don't take any time to benefit you to get a whole heap more movement? I mean, we're sat here now and I'm sat on the floor and you're sat in a chair. And I'm not like picking on you at all, but it's something that I do. Obviously, I can't go in a cafe and do this.
Right.
What's wrong with her? But it's kind of like I can see it a lot of different ways, and I've used different movements. And sometimes people will say to me, oh, I can't get on the floor. And you're like, well, if you ever fall over and you can't get back up again, you know, and it's like you use so many different things to get on the floor and back up again. And there's so many simple things you can stick into your life to help yourself.
Okay. So do you have specific habits or practices that you do that have made a significant change in your life? Daily
I mean, I have like I don't have a timer in my head, and it's not stressful, but it's like, right, okay, you've been on the computer for X amount of time, move. If I'm on a phone call, I'll be walking around. I mean, this is kind of like a computer lifestyle day. I make sure like at dinner time, I'll go out for a walk. I think about the way that I'm walking. I mean, it's like the way I walked previously because of my injuries was putting me in pain with every step. So I rebuilt myself through movement gradually through restorative exercise. And so now the way I move benefits me and maintains me. Because if you think about, people think of, I'm in injury, I'm in pain, get me out of pain, but then they never think about how they move through the day. So it's not about being stringent and military, but when you learn to use your body in a different way, it makes a big difference in maintaining it. Because I kind of learned what I had done, use specific exercises, and then my days, like for example, if I was doing something that kind of wasn't beneficial for me, like I was bouncing up and down off a step treating horses, and I think, right, okay, to counterbalance that, I'm going to do a few of these exercises, or I'm going to walk around the yard or something. So I'm very, my whole life is geared to prevention.
All right. Good information. Closing thoughts, anything you'd like to share in addition? So if we've got riders that are currently experiencing pain or mobility issues, what's your top piece of advice to throw at them?
It's always hard to go one.
That's okay.
Can I go three? I would definitely say pain is a warning. It's a signal for change. That is something that I've always thought. It's not there to annoy you. It's a warning. You know, it's your body's way of telling you this has got too much. I would also say don't ever give up on your body. A lot of people, and I understand why. I mean, I spent 10 years searching for answers, but it's just keep looking for that key, you know, to unlock your problems. And just take your time. We live in a very quick kind of fast world, and people are looking for quick answers, and they never work on anything, especially not your body. It takes time to recover from an injury, and it takes time to restore your body. It's a bit like groundwork with horses. When it's done properly, it'll set you up. When it's done quickly, you'll just keep having one problem after the next, or one recurrent problem.
Nice. All right, Samantha, thank you so much for taking the time to join our podcast. And for our listeners, go to her website. It's Refined Riding. That's R-E-F-I-N-E-D, Riding, R-I-D-I-N-G. So Refined Riding, Riding, one word, no spaces. And yeah, reach out to Samantha. She would love to help. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye.